Good afternoon. Welcome to the second hour of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
My name is Bill Cundiff. And
what do you have for us, Bill?
Well, we have a sponsor this hour. It's Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer.
Huh.
Yeah. They're located up at 3119 Twin View Boulevard. They're
just right by the smoking hot homeless camp.
Oh, yeah, it's not there anymore.
It caught on fire.
Caught on fire and burned down
I'm
there
sorry,
Friday.
Why was I laughing?
I don't know.
Nervous,
there was nobody.
Nervous,
yeah, they had already
response.
Moved out, but yeah, it's now a burnt field. Yeah, they're just two, Pape Machinery is just two doors south of Phil's Propeller. They're easy to find there on Twin View Boulevard. And they're in Shasta Lake City. Anything John Deere, give them a call and, they can get you fixed up. Part sales service, they do it all right there. Or give them a call at 226-9226, and you can catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Spelled P-A-P-E.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You got it.
Deceptively simple, but often confused.
Correct. Thank you for that.
That could be their new tagline, Pape Machinery. Deceptively simple, but often confused. Yeah.
I'll fly that by him. I'm thinking probably not, though.
Corporate not going to like it?
Probably not.
You're just going to work for a smaller company, somebody we can manipulate.
Yeah, you're going to get manipulated, all right.
So you can find archives that stretch back, I don't know, 11 years or something, at wethepeopleradio.us, which is why we give you the website a lot. And those play without any interruption.
Mm-hmm.
They are free of charge, so that's not always the case. They're little MP3 files, and you can play those free of charge. Some of them are on video if you would like to witness the buffoonery, not just listen to it.
Yeah.
You've got that available to you. And honestly, every show in a we'll switch. I'll put on my serious hat now that no one will believe me because they'll think I'm kidding. But every show we put on here, whatever it is we're referencing, if it exists in print or can be accessed online. So like the CIA unclassified document, The Darker Bioweapons Future, that's the title of it. God, I don't know. They probably have the Department of Cheerful Titles churns these out for them. But back in 2003, that's what they called it, The Darker Bioweapons Future, November 3rd of 2003. And it's very interesting because it's a lovely little blueprint for the virus. It's only, let's see, it's all bullet points and it's like,
It's like 2 pages.
Yeah, a little under two pages. I've got a PDF for you and I have it on there. So if you can't load a PDF, you could read it online. Yeah. But just, print it on the page there. But our guest has made that available to us, and that's what we are discussing today with Peter Friedman, who we've had on for a variety of topics because he's a guy with a variety of knowledge and experience. So we appreciate you hanging with us for the whole time because this is kind of a, some of this people know, but I think as we get a little farther down the trail and start connecting the dots, these are things people really have to consider. Like for the folks that have decided not to get the, we'll call it the vaccine, even though we all know it's not a vaccine, but if you decided not to do that and now you're getting leaned on by your employer or, you want to go to a cruise and they won't let you or whatever the thing is, all these things at this point are things to consider. And for the people who have gotten this, who are developing maybe some health issues, also a point to ponder. I have a relative who's 53 who had the Pfizer shots and had a stroke a couple weeks ago with no history of that. And so it's like, well, was that the blood clot from the shots or I don't know. Those are the ones that are never going to really be nailed down. But I think there are a lot of people seeing issues.
Yeah.
And so before I quit my editorializing, one last real life thing in a town not too far from here. They had 47 senior citizens in a rest home who all got the vaccine. So everybody did their dutiful diligence, got vaccinated. The old people were all vaccinated. Boom, got them all. Interestingly enough, they all came down with COVID a few weeks later. They all got it, and 7 of them died. So it's like...
That was helpful.
I'm sorry. I think when you do the math... Mr. Friedman's got his mental calculator out. He's already doing it. I think their odds would have been better to not get the shot at all.
Well, if they hadn't got the shot, maybe 8 would have died.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's true. Are you channeling the CDC right now?
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah. So it helps.
We're going to fire Bill. He's not allowed to channel the CDC. What the heck? Mr. Friedman?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you enjoy your little break there?
Oh, I did. I thought when you were talking about somebody being confused, I thought you were talking about me.
No, we try not to have people on that are confused because, especially when they're on the phone, it's just too hard. They won't.
Well, I'm more concerned than confused.
There you go. There's a lot of that.
Okay. Moving right along.
Yes.
I'm going to talk about three drugs, two of which you know. The third one you've never heard of, but Dr. Fauci has because it came out of the NIH.
Oh, terrific.
And I will give you, I'll give you the actual internet address. You can read the report. Some of this stuff is amazing. I mean, these people think that we're all stupid. So let's talk about briefly hydroxychloroquine. Hydroxychloroquine has been used in poorer countries all over the world with an 87.4% lower death rate per million people than the richer countries taking the vaccines, Pfizer and Moderna. Now, this is some very interesting information. This information comes from the HCQ Hotel Charlie Quebec Trial, T-R-I-A-L, hcqtrial.com. And you can get all this information right there. I mean, there's nobody's trying to hide this or anything. If you were to use hydroxychloroquine or HCQ early in a COVID flu situation, which is what has been touted by Dr. Peter McCullough and the FLCCC for over a year, and President Trump, too. That was probably the death knell for it. Limited use. So if you talk about these countries, Mexico, the UK, United States, Sweden, Ireland, France, Netherlands, and Canada, those are pretty, you know, wealthier countries, and you know they're mostly here in the West, and they should be on top of all of this stuff. They have a combined population of 663 million. The average COVID death rate per million is 630. Now let's talk about widespread early HCQ use in a population of 2 billion where the average COVID death rate is only 79.6. Okay, 79.6 versus 630 is 87% lower. Go ahead.
No,
that sounds pretty dangerous to me. I don't know.
Scoffing.
Yeah, the countries are Turkey, Russia, Israel, India, Algeria, Costa Rica, Indonesia, the Ukraine, Morocco, Greece, and Cuba. They have an 87.4% lower COVID death rate per million by early intervention of hydroxychloroquine. Now, hydroxychloroquine costs about $5 a dose or less. The other stuff costs a lot more. Now, if you figure out, and this just came out, that the government is paying Walgreens, for example, $40 per injection. Walgreens came out last week and was very proud that they had now injected over 20 million people. Do the math. The taxpayers so far have paid Walgreens, not CVS, not Rite Aid, just Walgreens, close to $1 billion.
Wow.
to inject 20 million people. So now Biden is talking about 70% of the U.S. population. Well, what is 70% of the U.S. population? It's almost 250, 260 million people times $40 per shot that these people are being reimbursed. Okay, you get it for free. They can't wait to get you in there. And the government is now coming out, and Becerra just said this 2 days ago. Our buddy Xavier Becerra came out 2 days ago and on CNN and said that the government is not keeping data records on people getting the shot. Well, that's BS, because if you go into CVS or Walgreens or Rite Aid to get the vaccine, number one, you have to show ID, which, of course, black people are too stupid to be able to get. Well, according to the left, of course. Okay? They've got to show ID, and your name goes into the database, the national database, on who's had the vaccine and who hasn't. So, you know, it's like, what the hell is going on here? All right? The left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing, or both hands are trying to finagle each other. It's all baloney.
So they are keeping a national database on who got the shot.
Oh, absolutely. Because they can't get reimbursed if they don't put your name and your ID information off your driver's license into their database. Because then the drugstores and hospitals submit the database to HHS for reimbursement. So Becerra's flat lying that there's no national database. And he said the other day, 2 days ago, it's perfectly acceptable for the government to know who's had it and who hasn't. You know, HIPAA be damned.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, they have to know whose door to knock on here down the road. And
exactly.
Convince.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. You are connecting the dots. It is unbelievable. So hydroxychloroquine is a 60-year-old drug used by millions of people around the world every year. The wholesale cost is about $5 for a whole month of treatment in Africa. In the U.S., it was approved in 1955. There are 5 million prescriptions for it every year for things like malaria, rheumatoid arthritis, arthritis, and lupus. 15 years ago, it was shown to work against SARS, H1N1. You got that?
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the most prescribed drugs in the world, and people can take it safely for years. It is safer than Tylenol and aspirin. But Big Pharma, because the patent has run out on it, and you can get it generically for peanuts, Big Pharma doesn't make any money off it. And they can't reformulate it in order to get a new patent out. So, you know, this nonsense just goes on and on and on. Okay, so let's talk about ivermectin. The reason that the Chinese don't like Australia is because ivermectin was invented in Australia. Okay? Yes. It's an Australian drug. It's an antiviral and anti-parasite drug. It is used both in animals and human beings. It has been for years. They have discovered that if they give people ivermectin in the hospital, they tend to recover. This stuff is used all over the world. There are now 51 peer-reviewed studies from all over the world, with 50 that show a clear benefit. The 51st one says, we didn't go far enough into the study. We really can't give you an opinion. So it's amazing. There's 120 actual doctors, MDs, who work with COVID patients, and many of them are connected with the FLCCC, the frontline doctors, who have written a letter, saw several letters, saying that this 51st study is completely flawed. It's like the nonsense that was in The Lancet. Okay? I'm sure you're familiar with that.
And that's the hardest, that's one of the hardest parts, that even the prestigious journals and the things that used to be kind of the bulletproof source material, now we're finding, you know, that things are being either
political.
They're being changed or they're being misrepresented. We have to take another really quick break. We'll be right back with our guest, Peter Friedman. You are listening to We the People, and you can always find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
That's what you said. But who are we to know?
In your ears, you turn around, come around back on you. Well, that little white lie's catching up to you.
If we took out the word little, we could use that as like the soundtrack for the Fauci emails.
Yeah. Sure.
That'd be perfect. All right, Mr. Friedman.
Okay, let's go back to ivermectin for a minute. Then I'm going to tell you about the drug you don't know anything about, but Dr. Fauci does.
Oh, so ivermectin. We were reading your mind then.
Yeah, ivermectin was originally discovered by a Dr. Satoshi Omura. And the guy won the 2015 Nobel Prize in Medicine. Look him up.
He might know something.
Pardon me?
Yeah, he might know something.
Yeah, Dr. Omura compared ivermectin, the discovery of ivermectin, to penicillin. And he said, quote, one of the greatest discoveries of the 20th century. Ivermectin today costs about $2 a dose. It's safer than Tylenol and aspirin and most vitamins, believe it or not. And there's a whole article by Dr. Pierre Corey of the FLCCC Alliance on the FLCCC Alliance website talking about ivermectin. I mean, it's a big deal. So Facebook, Reddit, YouTube, everybody else took all of the ivermectin information and YouTube's down. They took it down, all right, because they don't want anybody talking about that because of Big Pharma again. Remdesivir, which was formulated by Gilead Sciences here in the Bay Area, the same guys that came up with the Tamiflu, a dose of Remdesivir cost $3,000 per dose and doesn't reduce any deaths at all, and that's been proven. I mean, you can look all this stuff up. Okay. Ivermectin currently has already been adopted by 25% of the world's countries to prevent and treat COVID-19. They did a study in Bangladesh. That is the poorest country on earth. Okay. Where they have exclusively used ivermectin to combat COVID-19. And they came up with a 99% lower per capita death rate than in the United States.
Wow.
Where everybody's saying, go out there and get this vaccine. Let me tell you something. Don't come anywhere near the vaccine. Okay, so let's see. It's almost 1:30. let's talk about, a little more about ivermectin. Okay, ivermectin It's available as a prescription medication. It's cheap. You don't use it alone. You combine it with zinc and an antibiotic. They've been using doxycycline, which is a penicillin derivative. It's already approved. Ivermectin is approved by the FDA, and it's on the World Health Organization's list of essential medicines. It's already out there. The problem is that they don't make any money off it. Big Pharma has got these HMO and hospitals like Kaiser and the rest of these guys. They've got them by the shorts. Okay? If you use that, we aren't going to help you. So, let's see. The other ivermectin. Oh, in India. This is very interesting. So, in India, and this is as current as July 3rd, a week ago, the India COVID deaths were on the rise and spiked. Let's see, where did they spike? In August of 2020, India began to use ivermectin, and they went down to less than 200 per, I'm looking at the data here, 200 per thousand, no, 200 per million, pardon me, in February of 2021. In February of 2021, the approval of ivermectin in India was revoked, and all of a sudden it spiked to 4,000 deaths per million.
Huh.
They now reinstated ivermectin in June, on June 7th, and all of a sudden the death rate dropped, and the death rate dropped all the way down here by 75%, down to about 1,000 per million in India.
Mm.
Okay, then we go to the Czech Republic. And when you're looking at the Czech Republic, they were already having a terrible second wave of the virus until ivermectin was approved on March 8th of this year. On June 30th, the death rate was down to 2 per day. Just amazing. Absolutely amazing. In the United States, okay, ivermectin was made an option for use against COVID-19 on January 24th. Now, how many people know that? Hardly anybody.
Hardly anyone.
And
right.
most doctors won't prescribe it to you. I questioned my very expensive concierge doctor, and he said, well, no, the data doesn't show its effectiveness. Just go get the vaccine. And I said, you know something? Can you give me a referral to another doctor? So in the U.S., in November, by November 16th of 2020, that's last year, we were suffering 3,000 deaths per million. Ivermectin was approved in March of this year, and our deaths now are under 200 per million. So NIH, okay, on January 24th of this year, the NIH, National Institute of Health, approved off-label use of ivermectin, and all of a sudden our death rate started to come down. Now, let's talk about the third drug. There is an NIH paper that I discovered that found that the over-the-counter drug, you might want to write this down, N, capital N, like November, dash acetylcysteine, acetylcysteine, it's commonly referred to as NAC, costs almost nothing, has extremely low toxicity, and it's been FDA approved for years.
Is there a brand name for that, or is that what you look for?
That's the generic. There is no brand name that I can find.
Okay.
Because it's too cheap. Nobody wants to give it a brand name and put it out there. Acetylcysteine. N-acetylcysteine, commonly referred to as NAC in the medical community. It's as cheap as hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, has very low toxicity, and has shown to improve therapeutic strategies for COVID-19. And this drug, just like the hydroxychloroquine and the ivermectin, in combination with other antiviral agents, has been shown to reduce hospital admission rates dramatically. And here is a paper that I found on the National Institutes of Health Library of Medicine. And it's sitting right here. I'm on the website right now. I can give you the website address if you want. It's NCBI, November, Charlie, Bravo, India, dot, November, Lima, M as in Mary, dot, NIH, dot, gov. And all you got to do is search for the acetylcysteine, N-acetylcysteine. And there's a number of papers here. And it's amazing. I mean, in the introduction to this, here's the evidence and everything else. NAC is a precursor of the antioxidant glutathione, which has been used to loosen thick mucus in the lungs. And what is COVID-19? It's SARS. It's a severe acute respiratory disease. And it treats acetaminophen overdose for decades. NAC also boosts the immune system. This is on the NIH website. It suppresses viral replication and reduces inflammation. Well, that's all COVID-19.
Now, is that when it's taken by itself? Or you said earlier when taken in combination with other...
In combination.
And what is that?
Okay, it's a combination, again, of zinc and an antiviral antibiotic, such as doxycycline.
Okay.
Okay, so it says in 1997, okay, 1997, it was demonstrated that oral administration of NAC, 600 milligrams twice a day, significantly improved cell-mediated immunity, shifting from energy to norm, going from bad to better, in seniors, to foreign substances from immune cells, bacteria and viruses. NAC treatment significantly decreased the frequency of influenza as well as the severity and duration of most symptoms. And all the charts and all the information, this is on the NIH's website. Where the hell has this been? Okay? Let's see. Although the infection rates of influenza virus, the H1N1, were similar in the two groups, 25% of the virus-infected subjects in the NAC group, in the placebo group, unnecessary compromise, and it's all there. It's all there. So, like, what I sent you previously was Dr. McCulloch's protocol, and in which he said, use the ivermectin, use the hydroxychloroquine, and that whole protocol right there. Here's the whole protocol for NAC. Twice a day, okay, as soon as you develop the cough, okay, COVID-19, here's the strategy for NAC. When you develop a fever or a cough, after exposure, you're going to take oral NAC, 600 milligrams twice a day. If you wind up, you don't catch it early enough, you wind up with pneumonia, okay, you're going to take 1,200 milligrams twice a day with an NAC inhaler if it's available, okay, and then if you have acute respiratory distress syndrome and you wind up being hospitalized, then there's more to the whole protocol here. It doesn't show any benefit after multiple organ failure. None of them do.
No.
So if you wait that long, for example, and you test positive, and your doctor says, well, wait until you need to go to the hospital, you are SOL. And I'm sure you know what that means.
Signing out letters.
It's infuriating. Then they talk about a body mass index. Now, this is really interesting. Okay? The excess risk was extremely high even for people who are not morbidly obese. Developed as a, or defined as a body mass index of 40 or more. A person between 40 and 60 years of age with a body mass index of 35, for example, someone who is 230 pounds and 5'8", had five times the risk of dying from COVID from a person of normal weight. And for younger adults, the excess risk was even higher. So if you have a morbidly obese teenager or something like that, the risk goes up geometrically. Okay, so what's interesting is you always hear this commercial for, what is it, on TV, about the fat, the insulin-resistant fat, okay? Mm-hmm. And it says extra fat, especially abdominal fat, secretes inflammatory cytokines. It's the cytokines that are the killer in COVID-19. Abdominal fat is a symptom of insulin resistance, which in turn is a marker for the mitochondrial damage, which in its turn will impair the immune response.
Uh-huh.
It is the cytokine storm in this disease, COVID-19, which is the killer. I find this fascinating, especially in view of the Golo commercials. Or Goli, what is it? And the guy comes out.
I don't know, but that sounds familiar.
Yeah. Now, this is even more interesting. The black ethnicity link might be associated with sickle cell issues. Okay, which could wreak havoc on any added clotting. I'm talking about blood clotting. The spike protein of the virus binds to at least 12 different receptors in the body, and a lot of organs can be affected, including brain damage. Oddly, the virus, COVID-19, in some instances, concentrates on only one muscle. That's the tongue. People who wind up in the black community with COVID-19 wind up with an inflammation of the tongue. And the tongue gets very, very large, swollen. There have to date between 12 cases of virus-caused macroglossia, which is swollen tongue in the U.S., which is evident of black ethnicity. I just find all of this stuff, it's fascinating.
It's all right there, but instead we're hearing about all sorts of other goofy stuff. We have to take one last quick break here before we get to the top of the hour. We'll be back with our guest, Peter Friedman. You are listening to We the People, and as he's telling us these things, I'm adding them to the website for July 11th, 2021 at wethepeopleradio.us.
Struck by it's pretty frightening, but you know the chances are so small. Stuck by a bee sting, nothing but a bee thing. Better chance you're gonna buy it at the mall. But it's a 23 or 4 to 1 that you can fall in love by the end of this song. So get up, tell the bookkeeper to bet I'm not a damn thing will go wrong. The odds are that we will probably be alright. Odds are we gonna be alright. Odds are we gonna be alright tonight. The odds are that we will probably be alright. Odds are we gonna be alright. Odds are we gonna be alright for another night.
Only if you pay attention, don't get the shot. Listen to good information. Oh, yeah, I got to tell them to wash their hands, right? Because nobody's figured that out yet. We've got to tell the whole world to wash their hands.
Wash your hands.
Brand new idea.
Don't stand too close.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. The whole 3 foot thing is.
Was it 3 feet now?
It was. It was 3 feet.
We moved from Irish dad hug to
6 foot.
What's
yeah.
3 feet? Because 6 feet is the Irish dad hug.
Well, you got to be within 3 feet to do the elbow bump, so I don't know.
Oh, anyway, I thought I'd put a happy song in near the end. So, Mr. Friedman, what volume of information have we cheated you out of now that you need to for us in 10
much,
minutes?
Do you remember that recently when I was you and I told you about the ADR? Remember that? Acceptable death rate.
Mm. Oh, okay.
And I you know, and I told you about the DC-10 and how they manufactured the DC-10 by they cut corners because economics and the actuarials, helped in aviation and decided, okay, well, let's, you know, with the DC-10 back in 1965, and they said, you know, if we could make a ton of money by, you know, just manufacturing the hydraulics from the flight controls and pull it forward of the spar, all right, rather than put the thing behind the spar to safety, you know, that we could save a lot of money by doing that. And gee whiz, you know, we're going to make, you know, 300 of these DC-10s, that they're going to state for 20 years is going to stay them, and we'll probably project well only 2 aircraft are going to crash because of that. And they actually figured out that only one was American Airlines that crashed because the spar flight control system was put in front of the spar, which had never been done before. They figured they were going to take 2 aircraft that were lost, and only one. And it was American Airlines, May 25th, coming out of Chicago. So the only plane has ever crashed for the DC-10 that they decided to make, you know, everything in front of the spar being less safe. And then they decided to the engine that, they were putting the normal 3 engine up on the tail, and the 727 rather Boeing had made the 727, but the engine is actually in the structure where if you take a 727 and it looks as though the engine was on the vertical stabilizer on the tail. But it's not. That's just an air scoop. So that the engine was actually in the structure. So these guys decided that they were, and I actually watched this, you know, years ago, when these engineers with the actuaries were sitting down there at Long Beach, and they were going, well, okay, we will produce efficiency and economics. All right, figuring that we will make millions of dollars in maintenance costs against making it fail safe and far safer, and it was like 10 to 1. So they figured, okay, well, we'll lose 2 out of each instance with the engine on the tail, and then it was, you know, instance two aircraft would get lost, you know, because the hydraulics was ahead of the spar, and they only lost one of each. So you'd have to financially think that the actuaries who came up with this idea were highly successful. So if you apply the ADR, the acceptable death rate, and now we turn around, and I hate to apply a nefarious reason for it, and you go into these vaccines where you have treatments that are cheap and effective, that they don't carry any, you know, fail-safe effort on there, and they're making stuff that the taxpayer is spending billions of dollars on all of this worldwide, and then you get all these emails between Fauci and Peter Daszak from the EcoHealth Alliance and all of the corruption going back and forth, and then you take a look at the administration and the NIH and the emails between Fauci and Zuckerberg at Facebook and everything. That's dark. That is so unbelievably dark in the human existence that the scientific community would now, like everything else, academia, everything else is now involved in politics and power and putting lives at risk. Even though you take a guy like Cuomo killed all of these people.
Yeah.
He killed all of these people, and I guarantee you that the state of New York was able to save $15 billion in Medicare, in Social Security. I really hope that this wasn't done on purpose. I really hope that politics has not killed the scientific community in medicine. Because I'm getting to the point where I don't trust anybody of these people. Mm-mm. And I got to do my own research. You know, it's frightening. It's absolutely frightening.
Well, I mean, we joke about it. We've joked about it for years. You know, ever since Ronald Reagan said, you know, the scariest thing you can hear is that the government's here and they're here to help you. But I don't think he was actually joking. And most of us who sort of laugh at that, we're not joking either. So when they come at you with, hey, we have this experimental shot and what could go wrong? And by the way, you have to take it. And would you like some candy, little girl? Oh, no, that's different. I think they're giving people hamburgers, not candy. But, you know, they're working on that. They're going to start with the white vans coming through the neighborhood, with music, right? Like the ice cream man.
Yeah, yeah. But you look at looking at the dollars that are being paid out by the government for these companies to administer this shot, it starts to make sense why it's so important for everybody to get a shot. Because that gravy train's going to end at some point, and they want to get as much money as they can before this thing gets shut off. At least that's the way I kind of interpret it.
Well
not only that, but how about the depopulation issue? Okay, we talked about that with Prince Charles and the World Wildlife Fund and all of this, and we've got to get rid of people. We got to get rid of people. We got to quit using DDT and stopping malaria, because if we do that, okay, then people die in Africa from malaria, and that culls the herd.
Culls the herd, exactly. Well,
what the hell is going on?
You know, it's interesting, because if you brought up depopulation, because we've talked about it on the radio for years, but when I remember we first did a show about that. And it was kind of like, eh, boy, you know, we were verging out on the, you know, on the thin ice of the pond.
On the fringe.
Yeah, it was kind of like, oh, no, we're talking about depopulation, which kind of made us sound like lunatics. But, you know, one nice thing about the modern age and all of the surveillance and the video and all that is these people have all been captured on tape. They're all on video saying it out loud, and they actually don't seem to be hiding it very much anymore. I don't think that's actually an unpopular thing anymore.
Let me give you a thought to ponder.
Okay.
Okay. During World War II, we killed about 40 million people. Okay?
Okay.
40 million people lost their lives. Now, move into Mao Zedong and the Cultural Revolution. There's another 40 million that the Chinese killed. Then look at Joseph Stalin, 20 million Russians. You take all of these things, and you wind up with several billion people. If those people had lived, how many people would be alive today in the world?
Yeah.
It would be unlivable. It would be unsustainable. There wouldn't be enough food.
Well, you start looking at what they're doing with food. I mean, not to throw the net too wide, but, you know, all of this manipulation of water and the closure of our farmland and the prevention, actually, of us growing food. So supposedly for the benefit of fish, but if you actually know what you're talking about and you look into the fish saving programs and you look at the data, it's not saving the fish, actually. So it's not even doing what they say. And the fact that California lies about it all the time, they regularly do not tell people that 50% of the water in California is flushed out to the ocean. Absolutely.
That's right.
Absolutely flushed out to the ocean right off the top. Goodbye, 50% of the water. And then 40% goes to agriculture and 10% goes to municipalities. So why don't they tell people that as they're you know, making them all kill their yards and all that stuff, like, which the year that they did that saved, I think, 1.5% of the total total water. Like, the fish would have missed it. It's just there's a lot of manipulation, and so much so that I think people kind of close down and forget sometimes that you really do have to be a little bit diligent, a little bit suspicious, and start asking some questions. You don't have to be an expert on everything, but taking things at face value, not really your best plan anymore. You really sort of have to look around and see what's being sold. I think that's why people like you are so valuable for us. We're running around doing all this other stuff. You're researching all this and bringing it to us, and thanks for that. We really appreciate it. And send me, since we're cutting into our last minute here, could you send me a couple of the links you were talking about? I have posted the NAC word and also the other thing you sent me, I forget what it was, or something else. I posted those both, but if you could, and the CIA report's on there. But if you could send that to me, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I'll do it.
We'll get it posted.
All right.
I will do it.
We are running away from home. You can find all this at wethepeopleradio.us. See you next week. I don't need my own decisions.